The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. He asked of them therefore the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, mainly this morning, I point out to you some of the points in the bulletin, reminding you, of course, that October is the month of the Holy Rosary, and I encourage each and every one of us to participate in the recitation of the daily rosary. The Holy Souls envelopes are, as you know, available in the back of the church, and please take these and be sure that we have them back before the 1st of November so that we can put them on the altar where they will remain throughout the year until next year at this time. Do not forget the souls in purgatory. I caution you to remember that we turn the clocks back on the last Sunday of this month, which is 2 weeks from today, the Feast of Christ the King. Do not forget, we turn in the fall time, we turn the clocks back 1 hour. Let us now also, as I said, the day of Christ the King, let us remember this feast very, very specially. Christ the King is a titular name of our monastery. But aside from that, Christ the King, that we will do all in our power, wherever and however and whatever, to try to reinforce the kingship of Christ on this earth of ours. We know very well that if anything at all, the kingship of Christ means nothing to the average person in today's world. So let us at least be the ones who can and who will give honor and glory to him on that day. We wish to take this opportunity to say thank you to everybody who worked and everybody who helped and everybody who participated in last week's ceremony and affair. It was not altogether what we had wanted it to be or what we had prepared it to be, but nevertheless, I think it was very beautiful and certainly very wonderful. A lot of you and many of you worked hard, especially in getting the preparations made for the little dinner afterwards, which I was told and have been told was truly very, very wonderful. And I'm proud of that. And I'm happy for that. It was an occasion of festivity. It was an occasion that we could get together and not be worried about anything, but just simply to be happy for the purpose of giving honor and glory to the Mother of God. I think last week we did give honor and glory to the Mother of God. But let it not stop there. It was beautiful, as we anticipated. Those things are very easy to be made beautiful. But let us not build up our devotion on mere beauty. Beauty helps. Of course it does. And we should not shy away from that which is beautiful. But let us not either come to depending on that which is beautiful in order to keep our devotion in motion. The answer to our problems today, under God, of course, the answer to our problems today is the Blessed Mother herself. She has appeared, as we all know, on various and sundry occasions and various and sundry places. But what is the message? What is the message all the time, all the time, all the time? Penance, prayer, mortification, and such like. And in some cases even, she has gone and said penance and penance and penance, not only for our own sins. Goodness gracious, those are as multiple as the sands on the seashore, we know that, but for the sins of others. We should work in reparation for the sins of others, for sin. We should work in reparation for sin. My blessed people, a debt has to be paid. God has been offended. I dare say that the hand of God is writing the words of his wrath on our walls today when we look at what is taking place here, there, and anywhere. But who is reading the message? Who is paying attention to the message? And when we speak of penance and mortification ourselves, when we speak of it, do we not in our own way say, yes, we must do penance and we must be mortified, but insofar I dare say, insofar, let us not be inconvenient about it. Let it not place upon us any particular inconvenience. My beloved people, penance is inconvenience. Mortification is inconvenience. Prayer is inconvenience. I dare say, looking at it from our point of view, from our perspective, loving God is an inconvenience. Look at what we would have to give up that for us, in our way of doing things, are things that are terribly important. But the things that we place great importance upon and go to great lengths to accommodate ourselves to them, how supernatural are these things? Is the observing of these affairs and things that we are so very much attached to, don't misunderstand me, how many of these things are really intended to give honor and glory to God in themselves? And for goodness sake, look at the inconvenience that these items, each one without exception, look at the inconvenience that the participation in these items places upon us. And worse yet, look at how willingly we offer the inconvenience or the inconveniences that these various and sundry affairs demand of us, and how parsimonious we really are with any inconvenience that pertains to God. You know, we need to ask ourselves, as we are always reminded to ask, what do we give to God for all that He has given to us? My beloved people, it is time that we began to examine our consciences. It is time for us to come to an understanding of just what our relationship with God really demands of us. November is coming very shortly. The end of the year is here. And look how quickly so far this year has gone by. November is on the way, the month of the holy souls, the poor souls. how we must pray every day incessantly, and how often during each day we must pray that we at least can one day be numbered amongst the numbers of the poor souls in purgatory. If we can just be given that unbelievably enormous gift, when we look at that which we have given, the little that we have given to God, if we can just hope to get that immeasurably great gift of the souls in purgatory, at the same time remembering that the souls in purgatory, that being the purgatory itself, is an enormous inconvenience. And it is the size of its inconvenience, it is the length of its inconvenience, that will eventually gain us the gift of our heavenly reward. My beloved people, we are all sinners. When is that going to penetrate our heads? And that we, everyone being sinners, have turned our faces away from God. We have seen something else, whatever it may be. There's something else that for some reason or other takes my view away from Him to itself. And every time we make the turn of that face, my beloved people, every time, there is a price attached to it. And that price has to be paid. No matter who we are, where we are, or what our station in life is. And so I speak of inconveniences. Mortification is inconvenient. And how we figure ways around mortifying ourselves. All of us will do just enough to be able to classify it mortification, but unwilling to go the full measure. We give, but not the full measure. Penance, we give, but not the full measure. Our self-will, we give, but not the full measure. Our humility, we give, but not the full measure. And until we do give the full measure, and I mean indeed the full measure, God does not measure in parts and bits and pieces. He wants the full measure. Until we give that full measure, of course it's inconvenient. that full measure is. Of course it hurts that full measure. Of course it's a sacrifice that full measure. Until we give that full measure, my beloved people, we have not paid the price. We have not given to God all that He expects from us. And to the degree that we fail to give that full measure, to that same degree will He measure out to us. And if we come out short, it's not His fault, because we gave Him the measure to use. It's all up to us. And as for the souls in purgatory, they're there. And they're suffering. They're suffering greatly. But you see, they made it, thanks be to God. But they did not give the full measure in their day. And to the degree that they measured, and to the degree that the cup is empty, to that degree must they suffer until that cup is completely filled to the satisfaction of God Himself alone. And that is for us to think about. When we go around fat and fancy, throwing around our importance here, there, and anywhere, that is a time to stop and say, where am I headed? So, it all sounds gloomy. Of course it does. To people of the world, because they cannot grasp that which is in me and thee. That which is in me that is supernatural. It is not my body that craves. It is not my body that will not find rest until it rests in Him. It is not my body but that which is in me, that element in me, that supernatural thing, me, that is what craves the uncreated. And it is my soul that seeks union with the uncreated, not my body. And yet, look the conveniences that we work at constantly to satisfy the demands of this corruptible thing, that is going to be carried out and dumped. And my soul remains back craving for its love. These are not ugly words. If I am aware of the supernatural in me, then these are healthy words, and they are happy words. But if all I can see in me is this thing here, then of course, how gloomy and how dark and how dismal. As soon as I see and comprehend the supernatural in me, then I will find joy. I will no longer allow this thing here to stand in the way of that which my soul craves. My soul does not crave popularity. My body does. My soul does not crave power. My body does. My soul does not crave prominence. My body does. My soul seeks only the simple, quiet, unadorned love of God. Nothing more. This is what we have to come to grips with, my beloved people. And as soon as we can, and as soon as we do, that will be the moment that we will find rest and happiness and joy and peace and serenity and beauty. And may I point to the Blessed Mother before I depart. Last Sunday was difficult for me, difficult for a lot of you. It was difficult because in my mind's eye, I was praying through the flames of hell as we were praying through the flames of hell. And what is more significant than the flame of hell? And those flames were burning furiously last Sunday. Were they not? She is our answer. My precious people.